talking about punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. This is Jimmy Clark, and this is Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO. It's a great day. I've had I had a great morning, and I got a great show ahead for us. I have a beautiful lady in the studio with me, and we're going to talk about horses today. But first, the weather, 84 degrees, 86 is the heat index. And of course, we got all this great wind or great rain, but the wind's just going to dry out pretty quick. But the winds are out of the south at 25 miles an hour, and the gust up to 31. Humidity is 52. So if you're out there raking hay, keep on raking. You got about an hour before it gets too dry. But anyway, we'll have your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast for you coming up here pretty shortly. But first, let's do some grain reports. And let me get it refreshed. And looks like live cattle, feeder cattle, hogs are all down today. Anyway, June live cattle is at 132.55. August is at 133.30. October live cattle, 140.37. And December live cattle, 146.50. Feeder cattle for May is 157.30. August, man, it took a big hit today. It's at 167.17. Lean hogs for May, 100. Hogs took a hit too. June, 98.12. That's the first time in over a year I've seen them below 100 that far out. And then July is 98.35. While I'm thinking about it, before I get to the cash grain prices in Oklahoma, Mr. Rex Fleming from the Hobart Stockyards called me this morning, and he's having two goat sheep sales next month in June. The first weekend and the last weekend, because 4th of July will be the first weekend in July. So he wants to have two sales next month. And so anyway, first weekend of June and the last weekend of June will be your sheep and goat sales at the Hobart Stockyards coming up next month. Not this month, but next month. Anyway, let's go to the cash grain prices. Let's see here. Here we go. One more. All right, here we go. Hard red winter wheat in Oklahoma. 1178. It's gone up 43 today. It's plus 43 today. Corn, 821. Milo, 779. And soybeans are at 1536. Well, I'm going to skip my normal farm stuff, talking about what the USDA sends, and we know it's all dry in western Oklahoma, and we know it's dry in the Panhandle, Texas, and we know it's dry in the Oklahoma Panhandle. But this morning I was privileged to attend a little deal at the First National Bank here in Elk City, and they made a $20,000 donation from the bank here in Elk City and the First National Bank at Sayre. All the big dogs were in the building this morning. But anyway, Sandy presented a check to each bank, or to each fire chief. There was 20 of them, if I remember right, for $1,000. $20,000 donation to each volunteer fire department in our area here. And shout out to First National Bank of Sayre and Elk City. Thank you very much. That's coming from me as just a normal human being, civilian. But it's been a rough year for wildfires, for ranchers, farmers, fire departments, firemen. We've lost two volunteer persons this year. A lady down at Lawton and Jason Smith just here recently from Balco passed away. So we've lost two of them. So it's been a rough year. So donations were accepted. And tomorrow evening at the Cheyenne Fire Department, I'll be present there, and we're going to be doing a Facebook Live on the drawing on their raffle. So at 7 o'clock tomorrow evening, tune in to KECO's Facebook page, and we'll be doing it live. I was going to do Paragon TV, but it looks like all my buddies got all the cameras, and they're going to be out of town covering soccer and golf and all that stuff. So anyway, we'll just do Facebook Live. So be sure and tune in tomorrow evening to see if you're the winner of half a beef donated by LC Price and Price Farms here in Elk City. And then we got an AR Colt AR-15. We have a, let me think here, Browning Silver 12-gauge shotgun, and we also have a Weatherby 308 Winchester, and then a gift certificate to buy some ammo and stuff at Gardner Guns right here in Elk City. So it's going to be fun. A lot of prizes to give out tomorrow evening, and we thank you for buying those tickets. It goes to, it'll be split up between all the fire departments in Roger Mills County. So again, the text line is wide open today because I think I finally got somebody in the studio that knows horses. And anyway, we're going to be talking about everything to do with horses, mainly nutrition, because nutrition for horses is probably more important than it is for cattle, but it's all important. And a big shout out goes to my wife today. She's been sending me pictures of the dogs find in the yard this morning. The gate was left open, so I'm sure it's my fault. I have a wire hair pointing Griffon, Zoe, which she's a wonderful hunting dog, and then Sister, she's our farm dog. She's she looks like a lab, but she's actually half blue heeler, and she's got Catahoula in her, she's got pit bull in her, and no telling what else. And she's a wonderful person dog, but she'll kill anything from a lady bug to Bigfoot. She's not scared of nothing, and she'll just take them head straight on. And anyway, I got pictures of baby bunny rapids in my yard this morning. So anyway, hey, it's in their blood. I'm sorry for the baby bunny rabbits, but don't mess with the dogs and you won't get mouthed in there. So anyway, sorry honey, I left the gate open. But anyway, we'll be right back after this. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
XIT Auctions will be selling 400 acres of good Kiowa County land Thursday, June the 2nd in Hobart, Oklahoma. The auction will be conducted at the Women's Exhibit Building, selling 400 acres and three tracks. These are located 6 miles north of Lone Wolf, Oklahoma on County Road 2090. For more information on this auction or to talk about your auction, call me, Aubrey Latham, 580-393-4440, or check us out on the web at xitauctions.com. XIT Auctions, ready to work for you.
If you're a farmer or rancher, you rely on a business that can help you get the things you need fast so you can get back to work. Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma is that business. They carry farm equipment, oil-filled cattle guards, and fencing supplies. How about a cattle chute or hay trailer? They've got them. You need welding supplies? They've got that too. Learn more at everettswelding.com or see their ad inside the Penny News. That's Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma.
Do you know Mickey Lively with Oklahoma Farm Bureau Insurance? If you do, you already know this about him.
When people meet me and get to know me, I think they do truly walk away with a feel of, you know what, when that guy says something, he means it. He means what he says what he means. I'm a straight shooter. I'll tell people up front, hey, I might not be able to beat that price. One thing that I always do when I meet with a client or with a new customer, I look over all their insurance stuff. And there are times I hand it back to them and say, hey, you've got great coverage at a great price. If you're not happy with your agent, let's look at making a change. But if you don't have any issues with them, hey, you've got another set of eyes that looked at your policy and you've got good coverage. You don't have anything to worry about. That goes a long way, because a couple of years from now, they may have a rate increase. I'm Mickey Lively, and I work for Oklahoma Farm Bureau, and my office is located in Greer County.
Mickey Lively and Oklahoma Farm Bureau in Greer County. Call 782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
Red Angus offers superior marbling, one of the top breeds for marbling, yes.
If a steak has marbling, it means what?
It's going to be tender and it's going to taste good.
That's where the flavor comes. That's right. Where the tenderness comes, right?
Yes. Good steak. Benji White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com on Facebook. Follow us at B&L Red Angus.
Lori White, B&L Red Angus. blredangus.com. You can find us on Facebook by searching B&L Red Angus.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
I went and got my essential oils cough drop, so maybe I sound a little better now. 85 degrees, 87 is the heat index. The winds are out of the south, southwest. I might not got it all back, but I'm getting better at it. It's 24 miles an hour with wind gust up to 29. Well, in the studio with me is Jimmy Nichols, and she's from Sentinel, but she's also the director of nutrition for Blue Bonnet Feed out of Ardmore. I almost said Arnett. I'm local here anyway, but welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Oh, well, thanks for coming in. And first, tell everybody a little bit about you.
Sure. So I am an equine nutritionist. I got my master's degree from Montana State University, my PhD from Oklahoma State. I have been with Blue Bonnet Feeds for a little over 11 years now.
Okay.
I had the opportunity in 2017 to move to a remote position, meaning I was able to come back to Western Oklahoma with my husband so that he could come back and be part of his family farming operation.
Well, that was
so
good.
Yeah.
So and where were you guys living prior to coming back to Sentinel?
We were there in Ardmore.
Ardmore.
Yep. He was working for the Noble Foundation, and then I was at the feed mill there at Blue Bonnet.
Sounds like I need to get your husband on the show, too, because I love people that have worked or are working at the Noble Foundation, because that's top-of-the-line stuff there.
Absolutely. I've got the connection.
I
can get him in here
for
you.
I love it. The show's already we're going to take a break, and we're going to go eat now. Celebrate. But anyway, well, obviously you know horses, and I know enough to saddle a horse, get in trouble. I'm not a roper, and I've been thrown off a few horses before, and you know, you just don't jump on a horse and take off. That's, and I learned that too. But nutrition for horses is way more pickier than it is for cattle. And you work for Blue Bonnet, and you're a nutritionist, obviously. So tell us a little bit about what goes into your thought process for horses.
Yeah, so I think it's interesting that you bring up, you know, feeding cattle, because I think a lot of people think that feeding horses is as simple as just kicking them out on pasture or giving them plenty of hay. And it's a lot more complex than that.
Yeah.
Especially, you know, when we think about horses, for the most part, we use them as athletes. And so when I am thinking about nutrition for a horse, I actually draw my parallels more similar to human diets and what we would do for human athletes.
Really? Okay.
So there's actually a lot that can be pulled out of the research from what we know out of human nutrition and actually apply that with some tweaks to our equine athletes. So there's, you know, going into things like probiotics and digestive support and trace minerals, organic minerals. I mean, there's just this whole world of functional nutrition,
right,
if you will, that we apply.
You're
to
not going to feed a human a block of alfalfa, though, right?
No.
Because up until the alfalfa wore out last year, I sold a lot of horse hay, and man, you talk about picky people. And don't get me wrong, my hay was good, don't get me wrong. But there's, it's just, did you have any blister bugs? No, I would have put it in round bales if it had been blister bugs out there, because you see blister bugs when you're swathing hay. And blister bugs are a major concern for horse people.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, in fact, a lot of horse owners are so particular about blister beetles that they won't even buy Oklahoma-grown alfalfa.
Go to Colorado
go to Colorado or Utah or, you know, somewhere in the north. But yeah, blister beetles are something you really have to be careful about in the horse hay.
And they're ugly to see. And when they're dead, they did just as much damage as they do when they're alive.
Exactly. Yep. The toxins are in their body, and so when the horse ingests them, whether the bug is alive or dead, it's equally
as
toxic.
What does that toxin do to them? Well, I didn't know if how good a vet you were. So that's the reason why I asked that question.
We may need to save the internal medicine for the vets. Yeah.
I'll save that for Dr. Mouse. And,
yeah, there you go.
Anyway, but I know it's a huge concern. And so when you're talking about all those organic trace minerals and all that stuff, like with Blue Bonnet, do you guys have just one feed, or you got certain feeds for different age of horses?
Yeah, I think, I mean, we probably have close to 20 feeds, actually, that are available on our normal price list, you know.
Right.
And really, they're broken out into families, depending on the needs of the specific horses. We feed everything from high-end elite, you know, athletes, all the way to pasture ornaments.
You're talking about Rich Strike?
Right.
Yeah. He's my favorite horse of all time. I love underdogs.
He's certainly no pasture ornament, that's for
sure.
And
he was the little guy out there.
Yeah, that's a pretty cool story.
That's a great story. Well, you know, horses, they eat kind of like cattle out in the pasture, but they... cattle during the spring, when our pastures are greening up, there's a timeline there. You got to be careful with your cattle, you know, putting them, you know, you just released them out of the cabin pasture and you turn them out on some really green stuff, bloating becomes a concern. Mm-hmm. What about horses coming out of the winter into the spring?
Yeah, that's a really good point. So with horses, it's laminitis and sugar that we're really concerned about.
Okay.
The green early growth grass has a lot of sugar in it.
Yep.
And when a horse consumes too much sugar and they're not used to it, basically the microbes in their hind gut, so the good bugs or the good bacteria that live there, basically become overwhelmed with this sugar load, and it can ultimately cause a horse to founder or to have laminitis. So especially with ponies and miniature horses, your draft type breeds, those horses are all very susceptible to this. So if anybody has ever experienced this, you know, they kick their horses out on green pasture and they notice that they're walking around and they're a little bit ouchy on the front end,
they're a
little
short
strided. Yeah, they're having a laminitis episode.
Yeah.
So they're getting inflammation within that sensitive lamina within their hoof capsule that's causing pain is what's going on. And that is a result of the high sugar content in those grass hays.
I thought you weren't a vet. You just rattled off words I can't even pronounce. it's got to be. I'm surely somebody's seen that out there.
Oh, absolutely, it's super common. So if you have a horse like that, or you notice a horse that's getting a little bit ouchy on their front end, or acting a little lame out there, get them off of that grass first. Get them pulled off. Get them on the dry lot. Get in touch with your veterinarian.
Yeah.
They'll be able to check, you know, digital pulses and heat in the feet and confirm whether or not it is truly a laminitis episode. But you know, worst case scenario, if you don't get those horses off of that grass, they can truly fully rotate and founder, and actually the hoof bones can actually fall all the way through the bottom of their feet.
Really?
Yeah, it's a life-threatening situation, and a lot of people just unintentionally cause this in their horses because they don't realize that the diet and that fresh pasture can actually do that. So,
well, I'm sure some of the listeners have just learned something, because I've seen horses out there staggering a little bit. I just didn't know if he'd been out on a bad night the night before or what was going on, but
yep.
I wonder what causes. So it's sugar. I mean, it's...
Yep. Rocking back onto the hind legs, trying to get pressure off of those front feet, that's another sign of it as well.
Yeah, because they just can't... Oh, I've seen horses sit down, but I mean, they're just not going to be able to sit down and get their weight off their feet.
Yeah.
Either that or just lay down.
Yep.
Well, what's some of the other stuff coming in from the spring into the... or from the winter into the spring? Like, or us, we're going winter to summer.
Yeah. We're skipping spring, huh?
we need to bypass spring.
Yep. So making sure that when you do make that transition to pasture, if you are in a situation where you have pasture grass for your horses and you can make that transition, do it slowly. So I generally will tell people, you know, introduce your horses to pasture a few hours at a time. So start with 2 hours, bring them back in, give the rest of their diet that day in hay. Then do that for 2 or 3 days. Then after that, go another 2 or 3 days where you go maybe 4 hours or 6 hours, and you just gradually work up. It actually takes, so the research shows it'll actually take 4 weeks for a horse's digestive system to fully adjust to a new forage diet. So So even going from one type of hay to another can be problematic for these horses.
Whether it's grass or alfalfa, either way.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, well, if you're just tuning in, I have Jimmy, same as my name, but spelt way different, Jimmy Nichols in here, and she's from Sentinel, Oklahoma. Her husband and her have a farming operation there around Sentinel, but she's also a mobile director for nutrition for Blue Bonnet Feeds out of Ardmore, and I just want She was wonderful enough to come in, and we're talking horses. I've already learned something. I hope you guys did too. But anyway, let's continue our talk. You got a list of stuff there that you want to talk about. Why don't you hit on one of those?
Sure. I think one thing back to this whole trace mineral and pasture topic. A lot of people think that if they just kick their horse out on pasture or if they just feed him a hay only diet, that that's all they need. And the reality is that forage does not, no matter what kind it is, whether it's grass, alfalfa, pasture, it does not contain enough trace minerals to satisfy a horse's needs, especially if that is a performance horse or a horse that's in some kind of activity and workload on a daily basis.
Like barrel racing or just normal pasture.
Absolutely.
Yep.
You know, your rodeo horses, your show horses, you know, excuse me, whether they're... I caught it from you, yeah. You know,
I brought you a cough drop.
Thanks. hunters, jumpers, trail horses. I mean, there's, you know, if you are doing anything with a horse other than letting it stand out there in a pasture and
eat.
Well,
people were like, one of my favorite people in the world, Lord Campbell from up in Arnett.
Yeah.
She works that horse every day, working on it,
absolutely,
checking the cattle, stuff like that.
Absolutely. Those horses, they have higher needs than what cattle and ruminants do. And so we have to be very mindful about making sure that we provide those trace minerals to those horses on a daily basis.
Okay.
That is going to have your electrolyte pack in there. The horse, yes, they can survive on only hay, but they cannot meet their genetic potential. Full optimum genetic potential unless you provide them these trace minerals. And if they're on hay alone, you also need vitamins.
Right.
Pastures is loaded with a pretty decent amount of vitamins, so
right.
That's not quite as problematic, but those trace minerals. So you should always either provide a loose mineral supplement to your horses or a diet balancer or a fortified grain to make sure that you're getting that mineral pack into those horses.
Right. Well, it makes sense because horses are great athletes. I mean, I'm sorry. I see I love horses. Back in the 80s, my boss over there at the ranch, he bought this filly, and she was a quarter horse. She is registered. She cost a lot of money. Beautiful, beautiful horse. And, dude, she was always high strung. She wasn't mean by no means, but she was high strung. And you feed her alfalfa and oats and just hang on.
That's actually, you know, since you bring up oats, let's talk about that for a second. I think people, you know, they think of that as kind of being the gold standard as or quote natural for horses. Oats are actually not that natural. They're really high in starch and sugar. And again, that starch and sugar can cause a lot of problems. It's almost like if you and I were to eat a bowl of Cheerios, of Fruit Loops every morning.
Okay.
So you've got a lot of sugar in there. You got a high sugar.
What's wrong with that? Fruit Loops are my favorite.
Yeah, no, exactly. Fruit Loops, Trix, all the high sugar, Lucky Charms, those sugar rushes, they're not going to sustain you through the morning as if you were to eat, you know, eggs or something that's more filling. The other way to look at it is oats provide this sugar rush. So I think about it kind of like a little kid. You wouldn't give a six-year-old a Mountain Dew and a Snickers bar and tell them to sit in a room and be quiet.
Yeah. Right? Or go stand in the
corner. Yeah, they're gonna get excited, they're gonna get this sugar high, and they're gonna get all energetic. Well, that same thing happens to our horses. They get a sugar rush in their bloodstream. So you've got these glucose peaks and then valleys, so you've got sugar highs and crashes.
Right.
So I like instead to get my calories from fat sources, so fat and fiber sources.
Okay.
Those are gonna be a little bit more like, you know, eating eggs for breakfast. You're gonna get more sustained energy. It's gonna be a calmer, more constant type of energy.
Well, that makes sense, you know, because I put up a lot of oat hay, and I've had my oat hay tested. I've had my wheat hay tested. I had the Truticale hay tested and the rye hay tested. And the oat hay, as far as protein-wise, didn't test as high as the wheat hay or the rye hay. And rye's kind of on the lower end and wheat's on the higher end there. And true cows just all over the board, depends on what you want. But those cattle love that oat hay. And now what you just told me makes sense. Mm-hmm. Because it, you know, they like sugar. Cattle like sugar.
Yep.
And so that's why.
That's why.
That's why they'll eat that bale of oats before they will anything else.
Yep, absolutely. Because
they're doing their Red Bull for the day.
Yeah, exactly.
So, well, I have some questions for you, but first we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll get on with a few of these questions here, and one of them is a pretty good question, and you're popular. The text line has been lighting up. So, but anyway, I have Jimmy Nichols in here, and she's from Sentinel, Oklahoma. Her and her husband farm down there around there in that area, and she is the director for nutrition for Blue Bonnet Feeds out of Ardmore. We'll be right back after this. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
This is the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, May the 9th. 1,162 head were sold. 5 head of steers at 387 brought 211. 6 at 462 brought 195. 9 at 592 brought 174. 25 at 848 brought 145. 5 at 877 brought 145. 3 head of heifers at 235 brought 485. 10 at 563 brought 162. 4 at 661 brought 147. 17 at 750 brought 142.50, 16 at 918 brought 129. Butcher cows were 55 to 78.50. Butcher bulls were 50 to 107. Bred cows were 850 to 1250. Pairs brought 1300 to 1575. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Exit 71, Clinton, Oklahoma. Sell every Monday at 10 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey, 580-497-6095.
I've seen a lot of industries come and go. The ag sector is a basis for Western Oklahoma. We do ag real estate, cattle loans, crop loans, to purchase cows or to purchase stalkers for wheat or grass. We do operating loans for seasonal needs, to buy feed, purchase fertilizer, purchase seed, buy hay and feed for the winter. I'm Monty Carlson, and I help make a difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
Is your cattle mineral investment being washed away? Weather can cause conventional mineral to absorb water and blow away. Simply put, your cows probably aren't eating it. That's why Purina created Wind and Rain Storm Mineral, a weatherized mineral that can stand up to the elements. Its larger particle size makes it harder to blow away and easier for water to pass through it. Keep money in your pocket. Contact Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City today.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyard's weekly cattle sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyard's, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Jimmy and Jimmy Show. This is crazy. I have Jimmy Taylor comes on, so we call it the Jimmy and Jimmy Show. And then Jimmy Music comes on, we call it the Jimmy and Jimmy Show. And now we got Jimmy Nichols on, so we're going to call this... Her and I are going to call this the Jimmy and Jimmy Show. But here's the crazy thing. The other day, you know, you guys know that I'm not the smartest cat out there. So Nathan was down there in the, we share an office down there. And I was like, man, Nathan, help me out here because he's college educated. And I said, how do you pronounce this name? Because she spells it J-Y-M-E. And I was like, Jimmy. And we were trying to come up with nothing. We couldn't come up with. So when I called her, I said, how do you spell or say your name? Jimmy, just like yours. End of the conversation. So anyway, it was a fun time. But anyway, I got a question for you. And This is question is, what is her thoughts on older horses that are really hard keepers as far as weight-wise?
Yeah. So with old horses, well, any horses, the very first thing that you need to do is make sure that dental condition has been assessed.
Okay.
So when we think about the digestive tract, the first part of the digestive tract is the mouth,
right,
the teeth and the tongue. So it's good recommendation to have your horse's teeth looked at on an annual basis. So every 12 months, you need to get them into the vet or equine dentist. They are going to be able to rasp off any sharp points, hooks, ramps. If your horse is parrot mouthed, I mean, there's all kinds of things that happen in the horse's mouth that the average horse owner isn't aware of. And not doing that routine dental care can absolutely prevent the horse from being able to utilize their nutrition. So first and foremost, get an appointment with your vet, get the teeth looked at. Once you know that the teeth are in good condition, then it's a matter of making sure that you've got good quality teeth. So as horses age, their teeth continue to grow and wear off, and you get to a point where they just don't have any more tooth to grow out. And so you get to the point where they're down to, you know, we call it nubs, right? Where, I mean, they're either down to nubs or completely out of teeth altogether and just what we call gummers.
Okay.
And so when you get to that point, they can't utilize hay, they can't utilize pasture the way that they used to. They just physically can't break it down. And so when you get to that point, you have to provide their entire diet in a fortified feed or a complete feed. You may have to make it a mash. So that's where you would lean on senior feeds. I'm using air quotes here.
Right.
But basically those are feeds with high levels of fiber to completely replace that forage or that hay content in the diet. Now, the piece of that, you have to feed that in the volumes that the horse eats in a day. Horses, as a general rule of thumb, should eat 2% of their body weight. So if you have a horse that weighs 1,000 pounds, they need to eat 20 pounds per day of food. If they can't eat hay or pasture, they have to get that 20 pounds from the food that you give them in that complete feed. And I think that's where a lot of times people miss on their older horses. We're so used to them getting so much of their diet from either hay or pasture. And we're used to just feeding, you know, the classic scoop of grain in the morning, scoop of grain at night. Well, that might only be 6 or 8 pounds, you know, depending on your scoop size and the type of grain you're feeding. You need to weigh it. This, you know, don't feed by scoop, weigh it, figure out how many pounds you're feeding. And so if you've got that senior horse that all of a sudden can't utilize hay or pasture the way they used to, and you're still giving them that 6 or 8 pounds of grain a day, well, their diet just went from 20 pounds a day down to 8 pounds a day of usable food.
That's more than half.
Exactly. So those horses will start to drop weight. They'll start to have their top line will just go away. I mean, it'll just look like a mountain peak along their spine. They'll start to lose muscle mass. You know, they'll fall apart really quickly.
Yeah.
So just the best thing you can do is get those teeth assessed. Make sure that you're feeding a good total volume of feed in the diet.
Right. Well, I hope that answered your question out there, listener. That was a pretty good answer, by the way. Thank you very much. Well, I know you got some more on that list.
Yeah. So hay analysis is an important thing to
me. Yeah, it is. It doesn't matter whether it's a horse or a cow. It's it's very, and it's cheap.
It's so cheap. I mean, for less than $30, you can know exactly what you're feeding your horse. And when you think, I mean, forage is the bulk of the diet, right? So forage is 75 to 80% of what you feed that animal. Yet, I would venture to say that 90% of horse owners have no clue what their hay is actually testing at. And they go from one load to another, and no offense to hay producers, but they just take the word of the hay producer who's making a wild guess at what.
No offense taken. Because a lot goes up to putting good hay up. And I'm not making excuses. I'm just saying that the temperature on your first cutting, because horse people's favorite cutting is the second cutting in western Oklahoma. And there's a reason. It's one of the best cuttings. Then the temperatures hit. Well, this year the temperatures hit early, so it doesn't necessarily mean that second cutting is going to be your best cutting yet, you know, because temperature has a lot to – alfalfa loves heat, but it doesn't like this kind of heat. It likes water, and it likes it to be warm. And hay will test different every cutting, even if it's in the same field.
Exactly. That's what people don't know. They don't realize.
Yeah.
You know, someone will say, well, I get my hay from the same guy every year. Well, guess what? It's going to test different from that same guy every year.
Every cutting. It's going to be the same. But in reality, for people out there that's thinking about buying alfalfa that's listening, your second cutting is ordinarily, your best cutting. But this year's going to be different. Don't go make a hay buyer or a hay producer mad by questioning his intelligence. The best thing is to do exactly what you started this conversation off with. Have that guy test the hay and go from there.
Yep.
And learn how to read what that test tells you.
Yeah, absolutely.
And every OSU extension person will help you out. Or you can get online and check it out. But Greg Hartman here in Beckham County, Warstall. He helps out, but he got a new one in Warstall. They know how to read those and analyze those deals, and they'll tell you, oh, this is great hay. You know?
Yep. Well, and the other thing I encourage horse owners to do is have their hay tested and reported in horse numbers. So that's one thing that's a little bit different. I like to use Equa Analytical as the lab that I send my hay analysis to.
Yep.
The reason being it reports back in things like digestible energy for horses.
There you go.
Right? So like cattle, we care about TDN.
Right.
Well, in horses, TDN's not really a mathematical calculation that makes a lot of sense specifically for the horse. You know, we look at DE, digestible energy, and
right.
MCALs. And so if you can get those numbers reported back in numbers that are meaningful for a horse, it helps someone like myself be able to give you meaningful feedback back on what your hay results are saying.
Right. So there you go. I ain't just learned something. I just like dropping it off at the extension office.
Yeah.
So, but there is a lot of good places to get stuff tested. There's a lab in Nebraska where you can send soil samples off, and they'll tell you, you know, you're missing this kind of mineral in there where the normal just everyday test won't. So
right.
Anyway, but that's a very good point that you brought up on hay testing.
Well, and I tell people to try to buy at least 2 or 3 months, 4 months if you can, worth of hay at a time, so it makes it worth your time to get that hay tested and then balance the diet to make up for what the hay's missing. That's the whole point of getting your hay tested.
Instead of switching hay every other month.
Yes.
Or every month?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
You know, because if you really want to fine-tune a horse's diet, you have to understand what's in that hay, because that's 75 to 80% of the diet.
Right.
You know, people get so hung up on what kind of grain they're going to feed, you know, and how much protein or how much fat is in this grain or that grain. And, you know, the reality is that the grain is such a small portion of the diet. They pay so much attention to that, but they completely neglect, you know, the whole bulk of the diet, which is that forage.
Well, which was forage. And, you know, I don't know, what's your thoughts on alfalfa versus Bermuda grass or hay? What's your thoughts?
Yeah, so it all depends on the type of horse you're feeding. Just in speaking in generalities for listeners who don't know, alfalfa is going to be much higher in protein. It's going to be much higher in calories than your grass hays. Bermuda grass hay is a warm season grass, which means from a horse's perspective, your sugar content is actually going to be a lot lower in those warm season grasses. So let's say you have a horse that deals with laminitis, is prone to founder, or has a metabolic condition like, PPID or Cushing's syndrome, or insulin resistance, or any of these sugar sensitivities. Bermuda grass is actually going to be fairly safe to feed those horses because it's lower in sugar. Now, cool season grasses, things like timothy, orchard grass, brome, try to stay away from those because those grass hays can actually be really high in sugar even though they're lower in protein compared to alfalfa.
Yeah.
Alfalfa is actually a low sugar forage, and that's one thing I think a lot of people don't realize is they kind of get sugar and protein mixed up sometimes when they're thinking of when you should or shouldn't feed alfalfa. So alfalfa is safe to feed to those horses with sugar sensitivities. Now, I reserve alfalfa for horses with the high nutrient needs. So your brood mares, your pregnant mares, your lactating mares, your growing horses, and then your high-end performance horses. Those are all good candidates for alfalfa. If you've got horses that are just maintenance, not in work, ponies, miniatures, horses like that, save your grass hays for those horses because their needs are just so much lower.
What, cattle. I know a little bit about cattle, but when a mare is pregnant and she has the colt inside of her, like on a cow, you wouldn't put a pregnant cow necessarily out on wheat pasture and while the calf's 5 or 6 months old, because the last 2 or 3 months is when it really grows. Is there anything to look for on horses and colts?
Yeah, so this is actually a kind of a special pet passion of mine.
Is educating. I didn't know this. This wasn't planned.
Well, so here's the problem that I see in the equine industry. We breed our mares and then we just kick them out and they're just out on pasture. We don't feed them any grain. We don't do anything. We just kick them out and we wait until that third trimester, and then it's in that third trimester where we start caring again, and then people start feeding them grain and, you know, really paying attention to them, and so they get this whole nutrition overload in this third trimester. Well, it's in those first two trimesters, like from the moment of conception is when that fetus starts developing. And there are so many critical things that begin in that first and that second trimester that if we're not providing adequate trace minerals and amino acids and the right nutrition, that full, you're missing out on this whole concept of fetal programming. You know, making sure that full has that opportunity to develop to its full genetic potential from the start. And the start is from the point of conception. Not third trimester.
Right.
So with horses, you need to be feeding that mare a balanced diet before she's even bred, and then making sure that diet is fine-tuned to her needs throughout the stages, right?
So how long is a horse stage?
11 months.
11 months. Yep. I was going to say 12, but it's 11.
Yeah, so in the first 5 months, you can feed that mare just like she's an open mare, an open maintenance horse. I mean, she doesn't need a lot, but she needs those minerals.
Right.
And then once she hits 6 months, and then as you move through the 11 month, those needs increase. Once she has that foal and is lactating, those needs skyrocket. So that's the other piece. Again, everybody gets really hung up in that last, you know, trimester of pregnancy. But during lactation is where those needs are the absolute highest they will ever be. I don't care what kind of horse you have, a lactating mare has the highest needs of everybody. They're the ones
there
that
you go. I got my answer.
Yeah. So that's where you plug in your alfalfa and everything.
Well, we're going to take a break. You're going to take my whole show up, you know, right?
Sorry.
And no, you're good. No, it's great. When we come back, probably got another thing to touch on, but I printed out a list for her and I on some horse myths. And so you don't want to miss it. Not crazy, but anyway, there's a lot of myths out there that people need to know about. And we have the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast coming up. I'll be right back after this. I have Jimmy Nichols in here. And yes, it's the Jimmy and Jimmy Show. And we'll be right back on Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
When we're all on the same page, things run smoother, work gets completed faster, life is easier. And that's exactly what advanced technology from Valley does. IconX brings all of your pivots together into one manageable network with full remote capabilities, regardless of the brand. Get the most out of your pivots at a fraction of the cost of a full panel upgrade. Valley IconX. Any brand of pivot, one connected network. Smart irrigation. This is Valley.
Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325 or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
Ron Hayes here. Here's what the good folks are saying about SEI Agritech's Livestock Nutrition Center's feed and minerals.
Hi, this is Ty Ford. I'm a local cattle rancher, and I buy my feed with Kent Watkins at SEI Agritech in Elk City. He's a Livestock Nutrition Center authorized distributor, and they have been very helpful in developing a program for feeding out our butcher steers. We use his starter and finisher rations on our steers, and we have had great results and great feedback from our repeat customers.
Located on South Randall, visit SEI Agritech in Elk City.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden. Complete nutrition for every animal, that's what you'll find in Hi-Pro Feeds. At Hi-Pro, their commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the most out of every animal. Hobart Farm and Garden in Hobart, Oklahoma is your local Hi-Pro Feeds dealer. Providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, or sacks, see their ad in the Penny News and check them out on Facebook. See all they have to offer at HobartFarmAndGarden.com. That's HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Welcome back. Got a great. I am learning. I'm learning. I guess I need to use mnemonics on this. I'm learning. Anyway, Jimmy's in here. Nichols. She's from Sentinel, Oklahoma. She is the director of nutrition for Bluebonnet Feed. Anyway, feed out of Ardmore, and we're having a great conversation about horses, feed, nutrition. And like I said, I hope you guys are learning because I'm learning. Anyway, let's check out this Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast real quick. Guess what? It's going to be breezy today if anybody hasn't figured that out yet. Currently, it's 86, 88 degrees on the heat index. Guess what? You guys out there turning that hay, keep going. Humidity's still at 50%. You're running out of, it's getting ready to start drying up where you can't rake. The winds are out of the south at 24. Gusts up to 32. Tonight we have a 20% chance of storms that's kind of acting like the other night. I don't know if it'll blow up like it did the other night, but it's, they said it's acting like it. So anyway, be aware of that out there. And then we have tomorrow 90 degrees, winds out of the north, northeast at 90 degrees. That don't make sense with the wind out of the north. Saturday 92, winds out of the northeast switching from south. Sunday 92. Hey, it's just going to be 90 for the rest of the week. How's that? That makes, that simplifies the forecast. Well, back to you, Miss Jimmy. And you have a podcast.
I do, yes.
Tell everybody about it because you're great.
It's called The Feed Room Chemist.
Okay.
It is basically, I think this week will be episode maybe 96 that I've released, so close to 100 episodes now. Basically, I release one every week, and I spend about 30 minutes talking about a certain topic in equine nutrition. Everything from, you know, nutrition to functional nutrition to supplements to feeds to hays to just basically breaking down listener questions. So people can find that wherever they listen to podcasts, you know, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and it's called The Feed Room Chemist.
All right. Sounds like I have to listen to it. And it's hard for me to sit down and listen to podcasts, but every now and then I'll find a good one and I will listen to it. How do people get a hold of you about getting help from you for nutrition or asking questions besides the podcast? How do they get a hold of you?
Yep, so there's a couple avenues. In general, I like to direct people back to bluebonnetfeeds.com. I've got a team of nutrition consultants who work with me. So we've got, I think, 10 consultants.
Oh.
So people can reach out through email, through our website, either way, and get specific help with their horses. Our team does everything from helping with forage analysis, interpretation, helping fine-tune diets, you know, really a full consulting process when it comes to your horse. So bluebonnetfeeds.com, if you go there, there's a nutrition consult tab. You can click through there and fill out the information, get in contact with us that way. We'll get you in touch with a nutrition consultant.
And make sure you write a note on there. I heard them talking on Today in Ag. And so anyway, throw a punch in there for me, will you guys? I'm not feeling the love here lately. But anyway, well, I got a couple myths to ask you about because we got about 6-7 minutes here. Well, this is a myth that says I can stop worrying about electrolytes and how much my horse is drinking now that it's not hot outside.
Mm, yeah.
True? False.
False. So, no matter what the temperature outside is, electrolytes matter. It's just that in the summer months when horses are hot and sweating, you have to provide them in higher levels. Now, here's the thing. Electrolytes, it's not like this is some magical package of things. It's certain minerals, right?
Yeah.
It's these certain minerals that are charged in certain ways that should be part of your daily diet anyway. So I'm sure that listeners are feeling a theme. You know, if I bring up minerals again one more time, maybe they'll really understand.
No, people in the livestock industry is not going to say that if they think because minerals are important of everything, even our dogs, they're even humans.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So dehydration is a common problem for horses in the winter, and added electrolytes can help encourage your horse to drink more. That's a fact, right?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Well, and the other thing that I want to make sure that people understand is electrolytes that are added to the water can actually sometimes decrease a horse from drinking because they don't like the taste. Oh. So pay attention to your horse. It really is better practice to make sure you're providing those electrolytes through the feed. That way it doesn't cause them to back off of their water intake.
Look at you. A myth. Myth number two. I'm not riding as much in the winter, and my horse isn't getting a lot of exercise, so can I cut back on his hay?
Yeah. So back to this concept, you know, horses need a certain amount of food in their diet, period, in a 24-hour period.
Yeah.
You know, so 2% of their body weight, that's your target. So again, 1,000-pound horse, 20 pounds a day. So if you were feeding, you know, 18 pounds of hay a day and 2 pounds of grain, if you just back off of that hay and start feeding, you know, 14 pounds of hay, but don't increase your grain, you've actually just cut his whole diet back. So what you do is you change the quality of the forage that you're feeding. Let's say that you were feeding alfalfa during your peak riding season. Well, if you're going into an off-season period, that horse doesn't need to be on alfalfa. You might transition that horse into a grass hay that's a little bit lower in calories, a little bit lower in protein, and that way you don't cause your horse to become obese and overweight and over-nutritioned, if you will.
Are you listening, honey? That's what you need to do to me during the winter. Anyway, okay, so we got a fact here. Actually, in general, you need to feed more hay when it does start to get cold. Fact?
Yep, absolutely. And the reason for that, and just like cattle or any livestock, when horses digest forage, it increases heat production.
Right.
And so, you know, when it gets cold out, sometimes people think, oh, I need to feed more grain to heat them up. And that's not what you do. You need to feed more forage because that's what's going to act as that furnace inside that horse.
Well, you just answered the next myth a little earlier in this statement. If we're not riding as much, I should not be feeding alfalfa. You answered that.
Yep.
There you go. All right. That myth's out. Let's go to the next myth. Since I buy my hay from the same place all year round, it'll be similar in quality even through the winter. Okay, so we talked about that one earlier. Here we go. Get your hay tested. And talk to somebody like you. Talk to somebody like Jimmy about getting your hay tested where you can read it for horses, not only cattle. All right, myth. Okay, so as long as my horse is getting enough calories from their hay, then I can at least cut my grain feedback if they're not getting a lot of exercise during the winter. I think you answered that one, but go ahead.
Yep, absolutely. Back to this whole trace mineral thing. So when you feed a grain, you've got to pay attention to the feeding rates. As a nutritionist, there is nothing more frustrating than when people cut the recommended rate in half, because all that does is cuts the nutrition that we just spent so much time trying to formulate for in half.
Yeah.
So if you are cutting back the grain below recommended feeding rates, you need to backfill with either a ration balancer or a mineral supplement.
There we go.
Yep.
Well, it's been so fun having you on the show, because I'm learning. I'm learning something on here. But anyway, thanks for coming on, and I hope to. You should come on more often.
I'd love to.
Yeah.
And if people want to follow me, I've actually got two social channels, Facebook and Instagram. They can search Dr. Jimmy Equine Nutritionist, or the handle is @
Dr. Jimmy. So, are you a real doctor? You got your master's, don't you?
My PhD.
PhD. Wow, I got a doctor's. Dr. Jimmy and the Jimmy Show. Anyway, great. You've been wonderful to be on here, and I hope people enjoyed today. I know they did, because I usually get somebody on here and I'm going to say, hey, I'm going to give you two segments, and at the end of the show, when the music starts playing, you're still here. So, but anyway, I think people like to listen to conversations like this, because we can get the grain report on our phone. I just like reasoning to eat up some time on the show. But no, it's been great. And tell people how they can follow you or get a hold of you at Blue Bonnet.
Yep, absolutely. So if you will go to bluebonnetfeeds.com, you can reach out through our info email, contact us, link on that page. Again, don't forget to check out Feed Room Chemist Podcast, and then follow me on either Facebook or Instagram @ Dr. Jimmy.
And she's a doctor. How did you get into horses? How did you get into this?
I grew up in horses. I grew up on a cow-calf operation. I grew up rodeoing and roping, and you know, horses were just going to be part of my life, and then I just found a love for nutrition and the research.
So we're talking to somebody here that yes, she's a doctor, but she's also knows what she's talking about. It's not one of these book-educated doctors where, yeah, I've cut the heart out of a person before, but I learned it through a book. She knows horses, and I can tell you know horses. I think everybody else can tell, because I don't. But anyway, it's been fun having you on here.
Yeah, I appreciate it, Jimmy. Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you. We'll be right back. Oh, no, we're not going to be back yet. The music's going to start playing here in a minute. I thought I had another commercial going. I was so into this interview, it doesn't even matter. Anyway, remember on one thing. Let me talk. There comes the music. But I want to remind everybody at Clinton, they are having, where's that at? Yeah, there we go. Clinton's got their Fire on the Fairways golf tournament coming up June 11th. And we got also the Foss Fire Department, Thursday, May the 26th from 5 to 8 p.m. are having chili dogs, Frito pies, the whole works. And any donations are welcome to the fire department. Support your local fire department. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO. I'm Jimmy Clark, and God bless.
Kick it into overdrive.
Cool.
This is KECO.